Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer or the listener, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Greetings and salutations to you, Melissa. Always good to see you. It's been a bit.
How are you?
Superbly well, thank you.
Yourself? It has been a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been about a month, I think.
It's been a minute.
Yeah,
it's been a minute.
And you look great as always.
Oh, I don't even know what to do with that, but I'll take it.
We'll All go. Right, sounds We're good. Go. Nice to see
We've
you.
We've got a really interesting guest here today. I will say one of my favorite lieutenants. Yeah, I think he's one of my favorite lieutenants. You want to tell the people who you are and maybe a little bit about why you're one of my favorite lieutenants?
Thomas Peregrine. I am a lieutenant currently assigned in Central Precinct. I'm the tactical lieutenant, one of three. Melissa Morgan is one of three as well. I don't know why she's saying it, but I get paid next week, so I'll make sure I hook you up there. But
there it is.
Or maybe it's because I make everyone laugh every day.
There you go.
So you two work together.
We do. That's why he's one of my favorites. We have a very happy existence in Central Precinct, and he's one of the three that makes it that way.
It's always entertaining.
Yes.
That's awesome. And you've been working together for a while now.
Yes. We're two,
however
three.
However long you got there.
But yeah, and it's been absolutely amazing. We're having a great time. We have good kids. We do.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, I mean, you want the long version, the interesting version.
Just briefly, where are you from?
So, weird. I'm basically from the Hampton Roads area. I've lived here for the last 40 years. Family's from Vietnam, but I was born in Korea. My dad was military and came from Fayetteville, North Carolina when he was in the Army. My mom and dad divorced when I was very young, and my mom moved up here to be with her family, so raised in an immigrant style family pretty much my whole childhood, and joined the department when I was 32 years old, and been here for now about going on 17 years, I think. Had a past life not dealing with law enforcement up until I was 32, so if y'all want to get into that later, we can, or if y'all want to get into that now,
Sure.
I'll just go ahead and put the elephant in the room. Some people who know this or address the elephant in the room. So right out of high school, went to college, trying to get a degree, got into the family business, and it's going to be stereotypical, but it's a nail salon. Started off doing that for a couple years and wound up opening my own business, family owned, with me, my brother, and my wife, Raina. And we ran that for about 13 years. I actually was running it while I went through the first 2 years on the police department.
Wow. So you end up graduating in the Hampton Roads area from high school, you go to college, and then you become an entrepreneur.
Yes, kind of, not intentionally. It was all designed. I had family in a business. They were making good money. I started off working weekends, and it was supposed to be good money while I was going to college to get my degree. Because coming from my family, you went to college. And started making good money, and college started going on the wayside. Money became priority, and then wound up opening my own business. Took a break from college, went back, got my degree.
Which college was that, by the way?
Good old Dominion University.
Shout out to those Monarchs. Yep. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope. So, got my degree from there. Just wanted to do something different in life. You know, I enjoyed doing what I was doing. I was making good money, supporting my family. It gave me a lot of opportunities. But I just wanted to do something more, more fulfilling. Always had an intrigue in investigative work. That's what I went to college for, criminal justice and sociology. It was very interesting to me. So I figured, let me get my degree, see what I can do. Quite honestly, didn't have a thought of joining a police department. If y'all want to hear a funny story about how that happened.
We're always on board.
So to those who remember him, one of the people I was introduced in my nail salon, I guess he would bring his girlfriend in there, was former Detective Wayne Verdazdonk.
We're going to blame it on his girlfriend. With Wayne, really?
And in the nail business, our clients we depend on, they come in every 2 weeks to get service done. So you get to know people very well. Like if you're running a good enough business, you get the same repeat business. So he would come in like either with her, drop her off, come in at the tail end of it and just kind of hang around and talk stories. And, you know, I would tell him about how I had a passion for investigative work. And he was at that time, I think, assigned to Special Victims Unit. And he would always come in with the interesting stories. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this just sounds pretty cool. Like, I think I want to do something like that. And then he actually offered and proposed that Newport News Police Department had a Citizens Police Academy. And he was like, if you have any interest at all, you might want to join that and just kind of see what we're all about. And I did that. I did the Citizens Police Academy way back like in 2005.
Right.
And so I can't remember, it's been so long, but once every so often we go there once a week or once a month or something. But it was every day was entertaining when I went there. I looked forward to going to the Citizens Police Academy to learn something. Right. And it was at that point, MPO Jesse Thrower was in recruiting, and he did the recruiting thing one night.
Oh, wow. And then that's kind of where you learned about the police department.
Shout out to Jesse Thrower.
So it was kind of like he came in and gave the recruiting spiel. I guess what we kind of do now with Sergeant Millett and stuff. And I was like, sold. So,
really?
Yep. So I went in and applied. I had already gotten my college degree at that time. You know, I'm just kind of putting some feelers out there. And I said, well, let me go ahead and apply and give it a try. I said, I never wanted to be a uniformed police officer. All I think about is, oh, you got to stop cars, write tickets, things like that. I said, I want to do investigative work. And I remember asking then MPO Thrower, like, can I apply for the position of detective? And he's like, no, it didn't work like that.
Right.
And he kind of gave me the rundown of how it worked. And he was like, and, you know, being in recruiting, he's like, hey, you can only just do that for like 2.5-3 years. Right. Then the opportunities open up to you. So sold. Did it. I mean, it was a tough process for me to get hired. I tell some people know that story on the department. I came on at a time there was a hiring freeze with the city.
Right.
Sure.
They drug out the whole hiring process. I had to go through it a couple. I got interviewed twice by Chief Fox.
Wow.
But I was persistent, and I didn't try any other agency. It was only Newport News.
Right.
And I finally got hired, and
Here we are.
Yep. Here we are today.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. So you are an entrepreneur, right? In every sense of the word. You have your own business. You're running it. You're successful. You're making a good living. You're able to provide for your family. And then you take a leap of faith. Mm.
That is correct.
And you join the Newport News Police Department, really not knowing exactly what you're getting yourself into, because you have aspirations of becoming a detective. That's where you want to head. But you know you got to go to patrol first.
Midnight shift.
Right. And here
with
we
you,
are.
With me. You.
Yeah.
So my lieutenant on midnight.
Right. So you go through training in the academy. You get assigned a field training officer for a couple of months. He or she kind of teaches you the ropes, if you will. And now here you are on a shift.
Yes, sir.
So was it what you expected it to be?
It wasn't what I initially expected it to be. But after going through the academy and graduating, and then going into field training, at that point, everything kind of fell into place. And I said, I understand why we do what we do, why you become a uniform patrol officer prior to doing anything else. The shift was hard, but what made it great was the group that I worked with. I looked forward to coming to work every night, even though in the dead nights of the winter, those were some rough nights.
Yeah.
But working with that great set of people, really kind of helped me out to get through the midnight shift actually worked midnight shift almost my entire patrol career until I went to investigations. I think I went to day shift for the summertime, and then I transferred over to investigations. And true to the words of MPO Thrower, I did not stay long on patrol. Like I worked hard, put in for the process as soon as I was eligible and got selected to investigations, and I was living the dream.
Right. Yeah. And here we are. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, that's just a lot of that happens in the Newport News Police Department.
It does. There's a lot of movement, opportunities, those kinds of things. It does not take long if you're driven, if you want to get there, if you want to make those moves.
Right. I agree with you. You got to put in the time and definitely work hard, you know. So how did you get to where you are today, and where are you today?
And we're still talking about the police department,
absolutely,
correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Not the nail salon, no.
Not the nail salon, unfortunately.
You know, like I said, as a patrol officer, I just, one thing I made sure of, I didn't like traffic. And if you remember this, Lieutenant Tejans, we had certain people on our shift that loved traffic and loved doing that stuff. So I think we had a well-rounded shift where certain officers would pull their weight doing that, while others such as myself would take the time with the investigative stuff. Like if there was a burglary call, I got dispatched, I'm going to make sure I'm going to get everything I need, be very thorough, be very detailed, knowing that that report would go to a detective. I volunteered for it because I knew some of my buddies, they didn't like to take, that was like not the highlight of their night to take a burglary call. They were more proactive and wanting to do other things. And I would say, hey, I'd take that. Right. And it's just because that was my passion. Like I just,
sure.
And that gave me that experience. Obviously, someone, it was time. And I actually did an internship back then. We used to offer that. I did a month internship with South Investigations while I was still on probation. And got to see what happened to those reports that we took, learned a lot that way. And then when I went through the process, I guess all of that little bit of experience helped me get through the process. So I only had to go through the process once. I didn't get selected right away, but at some point within that time frame, I did get selected, and they moved me from one precinct to another, because back then that's what would happen. And at first I kind of went kicking and screaming because I love South Precinct. But then I got sent to Central Precinct, and there I fell under the mentorship of now retired Detective Trong. Mm-hmm. And my sergeant at the time was Sergeant Pollock. They're both retired now. Those are my two mentors. They're both gone now. But I guess that's all she wrote from there, because in a nutshell, I have pretty much done multiple assignments on this department since then.
Right.
I've been pretty much everywhere. I've worked all three precincts. I've worked out of headquarters. I've worked with, now it's called Special Investigations, but back then it was Organized Crime. So I would tell you, it just kind of, my career, I did not think it would go that way. When I got into investigations, I said, I'm going to be like Detective Trong. This is what I love to do, and I'm going to do this for 20 some years. But things change, you know, sure. Priorities change. And about 5 years in, that's when I felt like maybe there's more, and I wanted to influence more officers, like try to, and they said, becoming that first line supervisor as a sergeant, now you have an effect on officers. So I went that route, and then it just kind of guided me in my career to now where I'm a lieutenant now. So. And I think that obviously as a lieutenant, I'm affecting more people, and that's kind of like my passion now where I'm at with Central Precinct, making sure I'm engaging with everybody and getting the buy-in from a lot of people in the precinct. So
nice. And you two work together. It's a beautiful thing, right?
Central Precinct is so much fun. Yeah, we have a great time.
It is. And it's all. And I'll tell you what makes it fun oftentimes is the leadership. You know, you draw those parameters, right? You try to create autonomy. People go out and do what they're supposed to do. Very little supervision, right? But there's moments where we absolutely have to have fun. There's moments where we have to laugh because the job is hard. The job is very difficult. We right. see some pretty terrible things, right? We know that. If that weren't the case, then post-traumatic stress wouldn't exist, right? So we have to lighten things up and now and then. So it looks to me like both of you really enjoy working together.
we do have a good time. He's our tactical lieutenant. And I think you may be the first tactical lieutenant we've had on the show. You want to tell everybody what a tactical lieutenant does?
Let me act like I know what I'm talking about here.
You're kind of like one of the catch-alls in the precinct.
So just in a nutshell, there's three lieutenants in a precinct. Precinct is divided into four districts, so there's two lieutenants that are responsible for two districts each. So they basically split the precinct in half. I was a district lieutenant when I first got promoted, so and I loved it. I embraced it. Those district lieutenants are responsible for a geographic area and the supervision and the officers that are assigned to that geographic area. The third one is the tactical lieutenant, which is what I do now, which other than assisting the captain, making sure things get done, I also kind of oversee our precinct investigations unit, our high impact patrol unit, and quality of life issues that the precinct's police aides can handle. The ladies at the front desk, I kind of manage them as well. It's a little bit of everything, so it keeps me busy. I'll go from one conversation about an investigation to a quality of life issue of abandoned vehicles in a neighborhood or something. So it keeps me busy. But yes, it's kind of all the other little things to get off of the district lieutenant's plate so that they can handle the more important issues. Like when I say important, I mean like the crime watch meetings, engaging with the businesses in their areas, things like that. So I think that system works out. Obviously, once upon a time, we had shift lieutenants. So the way that it's designed, I think it's actually effective.
Right. So you wear a few hats. You wear a few hats.
A few.
But every lieutenant does, do they not?
Yes.
I mean, you have a lot of responsibilities. I know, Melissa, as a precinct lieutenant, you focus a lot on not only crime, but trying to reduce that. And that comes sometimes with meetings with the public, correct?
Oh, all the time. Yes.
Yeah, all the time. Because we have to have their input in order to know what's going on. I think that's critically important.
That is
important.
Correct. Very important. And I will say this, Central Precinct is unique because the three lieutenants share an office. So I've been in a precinct where each lieutenant has their own office, which is nice. You get a little bit of privacy and everything. Right. But the way we work is, yes, I will say I have this responsibility, and Melissa has a responsibility, and Jeff Barefoot has a responsibility. But the one thing that's unique about us is we are always involved in each other's responsibilities and affairs. Like we're having open discussions every day.
Sure, right.
At any given time, if one of us was not present, the other one may have an answer if needed. Like when I was gone for 2 weeks on my 25th anniversary trip,
shout out to Raina.
Shout out to Raina. things don't stop when I'm gone. So,
sure.
So it's great to have them in there. Like, they're not having to play catch up. Like, what was Peregrine doing before he left? Like, they knew. Like, if a, sure. if a general question came in, that's what I think was unique about Central, the communication aspect between with all of that.
Yeah. So from what I've seen, especially during our Comstat meetings and things of that sort, Comstat meeting is a weekly, or I guess it's a weekly meeting where basically lieutenants are held accountable for the things that are going on in their in their precinct. And what are you going to do about it? How are you going to solve that? You know, there's a lot of accountability there.
That's always the fun part, is what are you going to do about it?
Well, and there should be accountability because we owe it to the public, right?
That's right.
We're serving people, and we need to make sure that we're constantly doing the right thing administratively and operationally. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Comstat. I think it keeps us on our toes, right?
Quality control.
Quality control.
Yes, sir.
I'm all about that, right? So listen, when you got a lot of stuff going on, right? You got a ton of stuff going on at work. What do you do? Like, how do you decompress or take a time out? Like you said, you just celebrated your 25th wedding anniversary, right? What do you do to get away and just kind of, you have your time. What is it?
So now it's just my wife, Raina, and I. We're empty nesters, kind of. Almost fully there. And I will say, generally speaking, I spend time with family. We have a big family. My wife, Raina's family's from Hawaii. We really experience the aspect, like if anyone knows, like the in Lilo and Stitch when they talk about Ohana. That is a big thing with us. We actually have a group chat that we titled the Ohana Chat. But it's big. It's a big family, and it keeps me busy. Like a lot of things I do miss because of work, but in my downtime, I'm spending it with them, or I'm just spending it with Raina. Lately, we've been doing a lot of traveling, and I kind of like that. If you want to ask what my hobby is, I'm going to tell you. I just picked up my new hobby in traveling, actually seeing things. I put a lot of that on pause when my kids were younger and when I was new on the department and, you know, in positions that I held that I dedicated a lot of my time to. So now as we're getting older, we're starting to look at the things. And I would say traveling, like I said, that 25th anniversary, I could tell that story all day. Like,
and you've seen a lot of America?
Specific areas that I frequent in America. I think I've been to everywhere that I'd like to go. I got a son that my oldest has moved to Chicago, so I've got to go there about three times since he's moved there.
Very nice.
I got family in Orange County, Los Angeles, California. Got to go there this past January. I frequent Florida very often. I go there at least once a year if I can. And then I just travel up and down the East Coast. I've been as far up as Boston, Cape Cod.
Wow.
Things like that. Now, we just started doing the international travel with my 25th anniversary. I got passports for the first time. So.
Oh, wow. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So you talk about the importance of family, obviously at home, but you're very close to some of your colleagues. Like, you're very, very close to some of your colleagues, and you're like family.
Yep.
Really, here. I know one in particular was on our show, Sergeant Kevin Mallette.
Yes.
I know you two are very close. Tell us a little bit about the camaraderie and bond that you have with some of your colleagues.
So, yeah, I would say, obviously, I think I have a good relationship with almost everyone that I've come into contact with on the department. I would hope they would say the same if you ask. But there is that core group that I would say throughout my entire career, like these guys are brothers. So when I say about Ohana, like if I was to refer to them, I would refer to them as brothers. And that would be like, you know, obviously Kevin Mallette. I've known him since high school. Justin Sturgis was actually my assigned mentor back when we used to assign mentors. and he happened to be on my shift when we were Southwatch 3. Ryan Norris was in the academy with me. And like these are the guys, like, you know, if I don't talk to them for a month, goes by, that, but we pick right back up. Like, you know, we all have kids, whether same age range or whatever, but so we, you know, I would say our relationships are pretty close. Like, interesting stories throughout that.
Yeah, well, when you and I worked together, Melissa, we spent, me, you, Lieutenant Webster, I mean, since we spent more time together than sometimes.
With our families, yeah, absolutely. I mean, our calendar was absolutely, do you remember that? That calendar was insane. I don't know how we maintained that, but.
Six, sometimes 7 days a week.
Yes.
You know, but yes. We did what we needed to do, though, and enjoyed it.
Speaking of interesting stories in Ohana, there's a tree story. Somebody fell out of a tree. Did somebody?
When you say somebody would be me.
I mean, they're your brothers, yeah. Right? What happened with the tree? I remember only part of the story,
Justin Sturgis, at his house, he has this nice climbing tree in the front yard. You know, I mean, when I look at a tree, I'm going to be able to say, hey, look, this looks like a nice climbing tree. And there was quite a few of us. Rob Harris was one. Like, we just climb up in the tree like we were kids and just kind of sit back and just hang out. Well, climbing up is the easy part. Coming down is not quite as easy. And I may have fell coming off the tree and kind of injured myself, I think, a little more severe than I initially realized.
Really?
Kind of went untreated and just kind of healed itself. But I think I broke my tailbone on that one.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. One thing that we did learn about you is that you enjoy technology.
Not per se, personally, but on this department, right. It intrigues me. It does.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing how law enforcement is changing with technology.
Right.
So, not going to say I'm an expert on anything, but it definitely does intrigue me. Like, I think I joked with somebody yesterday and said, I used to love that movie Minority Report.
The precogs. Yes.
Yep. I was like, you know, kind of moving in those directions. You know, they got drones flying around, things like that. And,
right.
And here we are today, kind of where spearheading and trying to get first responder drones.
That's right.
On our agency, things like that. Real-time right. crime center is growing. Very interesting stuff.
Yep, and it helps increase those probability factors, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The probability. Yeah, absolutely, it does. So let's talk a little bit about this. What's the future for you, man? What's it look like?
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to stick around a while, right?
It depends on what day of the week it is when you ask me that one. I'm not to that point yet. I used to laugh and tell people, you know, when you get to that point where you've been here for 25 years, then it's kind of like, I've made it, and, you know, I have options. I love what I'm doing now. I've loved what I've done this on this department my entire career. Nothing has ever gotten my way. I work hard, come in, do my job, and anything that I've asked for, I've kind of gotten and I've achieved to where I'm at.
Right.
For the time being, it's like this is where I'm at. You know, obviously in the position that I'm at, and I just had this discussion the other day with when I say Unit 1, we all know this. The chief of police, Chief Drew, kind of just mentioned to him about, you know, as we move up the ranks and now we're in a position of lieutenant, that the options get slimmer and slimmer, and you're just kind of like hoping that you can move around a little bit, get some experience. As a sergeant, I got to move quite a few different places as a sergeant that I would say affected me in my career and developed me. And now as a lieutenant, I think it'd be great. And then obviously the next step up would be when I get to that point, if I get the nerves up when they make another announcement for the captain's process.
Right. Yeah. Did you, when you, just out of curiosity, because you and I worked together for a while, when we were working together, did you envision yourself, because I was a lieutenant at the time, mm-hmm. did you envision yourself as a lieutenant at that point?
Absolutely not.
No, you did not.
Even as a detective, I remember telling people, like, I'll never be a sergeant.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I'll never be a sergeant. And there was somebody, and it was now retired, Jerome Harris, Detective Jerome Harris. He was like, mm-hmm. you're going to be a sergeant. Yeah. And when I put in for it and then I finally got promoted, everyone was like, you know, throwing it back in my face. I said, okay. Then same thing with the lieutenant. Like, as a sergeant, I said, I love this.
Yeah.
I love what I'm doing. I love having my core group when I was on patrol. And I would tell you the best part I had on as a patrol sergeant was when we created the four watch. We had what we called the power shift, if you remember that.
Yes.
And I just remember I was the lucky guy in North Precinct that got selected to do that because it was the weirdest hours, and I was the junior sergeant. And I remember at the time, it was Captain Miskowski came in and said, what do you feel about being the sergeant on that shift? We need one sergeant, and we're looking to see, and the hours were from 4:30 p.m. to 2:30 in the morning. And I was like, that sounds great, because it kind of gave me the best of both worlds. I kind of liked evenings. I like midnights, but I like midnights up until about 3 a.m.
Right.
And she was like, oh, so you wouldn't mind going there? And I said, no, I wouldn't mind now. She was like, well, great, because nobody else wanted it, and you're the junior sergeant, so you're going to go anyway.
It was going to be anyway.
And I was a young sergeant, and all the officers that we had to select to go to there, they were all young officers. As you know now, all of our officers are, when I say young, I mean young on the agency.
Right.
And I will say we all developed together, me and that group of officers. Yeah. And those officers, some of them that are here today, I like to watch where they're at and where I'm at and everything. And we still communicate whenever we see each other, and we kind of laugh and joke about it. We have a little mini reunion with us. A couple of them work now for me or for us in Central Precinct. A couple others are out doing other things in their career on the department. And it's just nice to see that. But
it's a good group.
Yeah. So, and but I never wanted to be lieutenant, and then right. that, and then I went to internal affairs and and got myself involved in a lot of the stuff that goes behind the scenes, learning more about how the agency is ran versus what I'm currently responsible for, and I decided it was time to become a lieutenant.
And here we are. So good for you. Matt, how are we doing, man?
Doing pretty well. I think we could probably move into the rapid fire section here in just a minute if y'all are
ready. Rapid fire. That sounds scary.
Melissa, will you do the honors?
Of course I will. All right. Rapid fire question number one. I probably could answer this one. What's your go-to snack while you're on duty?
I mean, gosh.
I just want you to remember that I know what's stacked up on your desk in the corner.
So, look, I don't have a problem answering. The only problem I have answering is because we always joke, me and my core group, about the stereotypes. It's cup of noodles.
Nothing wrong with that.
This it gets you in a pinch. Pour some water in there, heat it up for like a minute and a half. Yeah. And how do I like my noodles?
Oh, gosh. You're the crunchy eater noodles. Like, it's so weird. Like,
fascinating.
I don't get it. I don't understand. All
right. Question number two, if you could star in any movie or TV show, past or present, what would it be?
Well, so this is almost kind of like defined of what I wanted to do in my career before I became a police officer, but Magnum P.I. I mean, he lived in Hawaii, in a mansion, drove a Ferrari, had a different girl every episode. I mean,
are you talking about the original Magnum?
Yes, the Tom Selleck Magnum P.I. Yeah. Yes.
Great Love mustache that on that guy.
Oh my gosh, his mustache was horrible. Why would you say that? What? Oh my gosh.
That was like the dream job. Like when I watched that show as a kid, I was like, he has the best ever. Like,
yeah, it was a great show actually with Higgins. Yep. And yeah, that was a great, great show. All right. Number three, Melissa.
Okay. What is one cell phone app you couldn't live without?
I mean, minus the social media stuff. I mean, I don't know why I'm addicted to Mario Kart Tour, and I've been playing it since it came out like 5 or 6 years ago. Like,
really?
Yes. You know, back in the days it was Angry Birds, but you get bored of that really quick. It was like Candy Crush, but that Mario Kart, I don't know what it's got me going for like 5 years now. Like,
oh my gosh,
man. Addiction.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Do you have one, Melissa?
No, apps.
Yeah,
you know,
not really too much into all that.
Now I like putting my phone down every now and again.
Right. So. Now, I do have a fantasy football app. Yeah, believe it or not. This year I started. No, I swear, I'm not kidding you. I know. This year I started playing fantasy football. So
technology is great.
Yeah, I started playing fantasy football. And so I'm the newest one in the group. Of 10. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I love it. Like, I never really followed football, you know, and a couple of years ago I started following it, and now I'm that guy that's looking up statistics. I have like gone totally overboard, man. I need to control myself. So it's definitely fantasy football. Question number four, best advice a senior officer has given you?
So that would be from Detective Trong at the time when I was in investigations, and it was advice, but it was kind of I was already adhering to, but I'd love to hear it, and it was just come to work and do your job. And you think that sounds like common sense, but it's not necessarily true to some people. And he was like, if you just come to work and do your job, you're going to succeed.
Right.
And that's how I've lived my career. I come in, you're going to get my full attention throughout the whole day, doing what I need to get done. And I would like to believe hard work pays off.
Yeah, it does.
So simple.
Absolutely.
Yet so not.
Right.
Wow. All right, last one. If you had one extra off day per week, how would you spend it? So instead of our 5 twos, we get 3 fours or 4 threes.
So this is going to be sappy, but it's going to be spending it with Raina. I mean, we're at that point now where we have each other. We're each other's best friends. I do work a lot now between my regular duties, and I do a lot of secondary to put my daughter through college. So if I had that extra day, definitely she would love it to death. Like, and I would too. Like the time that we spent on that cruise, like 2 weeks uninterrupted, we came back and she missed it immediately.
Raina.
Yeah. So she grounds you, yeah?
Yes.
Keeps you grounded, yeah. Yeah. I think that's the same thing.
We make each other better.
Like, wow. Yeah. That's a very healthy relationship. And we need that in law enforcement, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's always been supportive. So.
Yeah. Without that, it's tough. It really is tough for those who don't have that in this job, It is. So it's been a pleasure seeing you, Thomas.
It's been a pleasure seeing you again, sir, since you retired. Yeah. And you look well. Retirement suits you well, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm fully enjoying it. I really am. But it was, you know, for the record, it was such a pleasure working with you back in on the midnight shift. Midnight's a tough shift. You know, it's special people work midnight shift because we sleep during the day, if we sleep at all, really, right?
Mm. Yeah. And, I think I fall under that category if we sleep, if you sleep at all. So.
Yeah, so it was tough. Transferring to days, for me, I don't know if it was for you, it was rough because at first it was just, it was hard to sleep during the night, but eventually we got used to it. And
I slept like a baby when I moved to days.
Yeah, my switch from mids to days was not rough at all. Yeah,
so it was fun working with you. Melissa, we're on a ton of platforms, right?
Yeah, we're everywhere. YouTube, we're on Spotify, Apple Pod, we're everywhere.
Yeah.
Click like, leave us comments, all of the above.
You can see us, you can hear us, all that good stuff.
Yes.
Thanks again, Thomas. Appreciate you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Cheers, everyone.